This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
You are listening to the Fly the W podcast. It's episode 17, season number 4. Matt Shaw's spring debut. Don't forget to listen, download, review, and most importantly, subscribe to this podcast. Follow us on all the socials. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. Of course, we're on Facebook. Also, email Crawley and I, flythew670@gmail.com. All right, Crawley, we just wrapped up a great weekend of Cubs baseball and a couple of interesting things, couple of nuggets. Let's get going first with the game against the Angels on Thursday as we saw Jordan Wicks make his second start of the spring.
Yeah, it was a weird weekend. The Cubs finished from Thursday, the last time we talked, 2 wins, 1 loss, 2 ties. So it was a bizarre Thursday. Jordan Wicks makes his second start of the spring going up against Caden Dana of the Angels. First innings of work, second batter, former Southsider Tim Anderson takes Wicks deep. Cubs down 1-0 early. Dustin, what is it about White Sox or former White Sox taking Cubs deep? Anderson only had 9 home runs all last season with the Marlins. Come on.
It's okay in the spring, just not during the regular season.
Well, anyway, Wicks gave up another run. He went 2 2/3 innings, gave up 4 hits, 2 runs, no walks, and 3 Ks. Cubs were down 2-0 in the 5th when Michael Busch singled and scored on a Dansby Swanson double. Dansby would score on a Carson Kelly single, and the game was tied at 2. It would stay tied until the 8th with 2 runners on. Johnny Long doubled to make it a 4-2 game. And Jonathan Long, Dustin, has been – it's one of those stories that you like to look at in spring training. He's a fun prospect to watch. He looked great last year in the minors. He played in the Arizona League and made the Fall Star team. He could play first and third. He has a really good approach at the plate. Just one of those under-the-radar guys that's really fun to watch. Just a good story. But unfortunately, the Cubs didn't win this one as Brooks Kreske gave up a 2-run homer in the 9th for a blown save. This one ended up in a 4-4 tie. Until the Kreske home run, though, 6 Cubs relievers held the Angels scoreless. Closer Ryan Presley pitched a clean inning with 2 strikeouts. Daniel Palencia bounced back, clean inning with the strikeout. Kyle Tucker was 0-for-3. He played right field for the first time and had a little bit of a flub, but he recovered and nearly threw out the runner at third. First time seeing that cannon, which was nice to see. Saya was the DH. He went 0-for-3 with 3 strikeouts, but one of them was due to the crappy Saya strike zone. So, you know, tie game, it's going to happen. But then we get to the game on Friday, which was really wild, right? We didn't think the Cubs were going to go undefeated all spring training, and it looked like this was going to be the end of the line. Kyle Higashioka, if you remembered, I wanted the Cubs to sign him as the backup catcher this offseason.
Yes, you did.
Played for San Diego last year, but he signed with the Rangers. He was 2-for-3 with 2 homers and 6 RBIs. One of those coming off starter Justin Steele. Have yourself a day, Kyle Higashioka. Cubs were trailing 8-2. It looked like the streak was coming to an end, but they scored 4 runs in the 7 with a 3-run blast by Hayden McGreery, big boy, first baseman. And then they scored 2 in the 9th, a Jordan Nwogu single, RBI single to tie up the game. And so the youngsters did it again. Steele looked pretty good. He didn't give up a hit or a walk in the 1st or the 3rd inning, but he gave up a 2-out single to former White Sox Jake Berger, followed by a Higashioka home run. Steele went 3 innings, gave up 2 runs on 2 hits with no walks and 2 Ks. But Dustin, after the game, he talked about adding a changeup that he's been working on to his fastball slider mix, which would be really interesting if he can get this to work, because what Justin Steele is doing. Normally, when you're a starter, you have more than two pitches, but Steele's basically been going with the, you know, fastball slider. But if he adds a changeup, I think that's going to really change the dynamic to what he can bring to a game.
Right. And keep in mind, they're always working on stuff in spring training. The other cool thing is that no walks. Like, to me, that's one of the stats to keep. If you can avoid walking guys in spring training, that's something I like to see.
Now, Tyson Miller tried to bounce back from a rough, wild first outing. Remember, he had 10 balls in a row that he threw. He pitched slightly better this time, going one inning, giving up one run on two hits with only one walk. So much better outing. But the Cubs and Texas finished an 8-8 tie. Three straight tie ball games, Dustin, which is the longest streak of consecutive games tied since at least 2006. But there is one thing I did want to mention from this game. In the fourth inning, Travis Jankowski's up at the plate, two outs. The count is 2-2, and he gets rung up by the home plate umpire. But wait, they were playing at Surprise Stadium, which has the automatic ball strike challenge system. Jankowski taps the helmet, and upon review, the call is overturned. So instead of being out in the inning over, the count is 3-2. Jankowski hits a single, and the next batter, Gage Workman, hits a two-run homer. That is why this ABS system is so important. Instead of the Cubs being down 2-0, the game is tied because they are able to challenge a bad call and keep the inning alive. I will be the second happiest person in the world when they fully adopt this next season, other than Seiya Suzuki, who constantly gets screwed.
Just the key thing there, Crowley, I want you to say that again. Next season, not as in the 2025 baseball season, but in the 2026 baseball season. This is not something that's going to happen. I just want to make sure everybody's clear on that. It is exciting. I'm with you. Fix the problem, but it's not going to be implemented this upcoming baseball season.
No, they're going to fix all the any kind of tweaks or issues that they have before they've fully implemented in there. And that's not a big deal, just as long as we keep moving in the right direction. And speaking of Gage Workman, Dustin, how impressive has he been? He's 6-for-19 with two homers and seven RBIs. He's slashing 316, 391, 632. So if you remember, the Cubs selected him in the Rule 5 draft in December from the Tigers. Now, here's the thing. That means he has to stay with the team the entire season. If the Cubs want to take him off to make room for somebody else, he would have to be placed on outright waivers in order to be removed. And then he must be offered back to the Tigers for half the cost that they got him. They got him for $100,000. They would have to give him back to the Tigers. The Tigers would have the option to reacquire him for $50,000. Here's why it gets complicated, though, with Workman. We know our starting infield, right? Bush at first, Nico at second, Dansby at short, Shaw at third. You have always kind of have three on your bench plus your backup catcher. Having Seiya as a DH and fourth outfielder helps the situation, but this is what the competition for the last three bench spots is going to look like. John Birdie, Vidal Brujan, Ben Cowles, Justin Turner, and Gage Workman. You also have Greg Allen and Travis Jankowski. So we're going to want to keep a close eye on this, Dustin, because there's only when you talk about Workman, that's one spot, right? And the other spot that you're going to probably assume is going to be Birdie will be one of the – or Turner. I mean, it's going to be confusing. Somebody's going to have to go, and this is what we're going to have to watch out for. Luckily, we're not sure about Shaw as far. We'll talk about this in a little bit. Shaw, if he makes it to Japan or not, we know Nico's not. And so you can possibly hold off on making that decision until all of spring training is over. But again, when you talk about that, you're talking about one, two, three, four, five guys for two spots. That's going to be tough. When you talk about Birdie, Brujan, Turner, Jankowski and Greg Allen. It's going
to
be tough.
They're all not going. They're all not going to Japan. They're all not breaking camp with this team. That we know for sure.
Right. So we'll see. Saturday, split squad, Dustin. Our first split squad game of the season. How ironic was it that the Cubs were playing Cleveland on 3-1 day, March 1st, which is a sacred holiday for Cub fans.
Right.
For those of you that don't know, 3-1 day is to celebrate the Cubs being down 3-1 to the Cleveland Indians and then coming back. So irony that they're playing Cleveland.
Good thing it worked out, right?
Yes. Big day for Seiya Suzuki. He was 0 for 12 coming into the game, but went 2 for 3 with an RBI single in the first and a two-run single in the third. Three ribeyes for Seiya, so good to see him getting off the schneid. The pitchers, though, in this game were really impressive. Colin Rea pitched three innings, gave up no runs, one hit, two walks, and two Ks. Rea may be a very important piece, especially when we give an update on the injuries the Cubs have. Julian Merriweather pitched a clean inning with two strikeouts and once again hitting the high 90s. Dustin, he looked like the dominant reliever he was in 2023. Newcomers Ryan Brazier and Caleb Thielbar both look good, pitching a clean inning with Thielbar striking out two batters. Brad Keller, who we've been raving about, he came into the game in the seventh, but he pitched two and a third innings. He pitched a 1-2-3 seventh inning with two strikeouts, but he gave up a two-run homer in the eighth and a solo and a home run and a triple in the ninth. The wind was really blowing out 10 miles per hour to center, but let's see if they continue to have him pitch multiple innings or if they start to really decide to use him as a just a one-inning reliever. But the Cubs did win this game 7-4. On the other side of the split squad, this one was all offense. The Cubs crushed the Royals 11-1. Michael Busch, 2 for 3 with three RBIs, a double, and a triple. PCA, 2 for 3 with four RBIs, a double, and his first spring home run. Dustin, they're both hitting .500, Busch and PCA. Like to see that quick start. Moises Ballesteros.
Great thing to see, yeah.
Ballesteros, 1 for 3 with a two-run bomb. Gage Workman, 1 for 2 with an RBI and two walks. An absolute massacre. Ben Brown got stretched out a little bit. He went 2.1 innings, gave up one run and four hits, one walk, and two Ks. Eli Morgan pitched 1 2/3 innings. He gave up no runs, no hits, no walks with one K. And Porter Hodge pitched one inning, gave up no runs, no hits, one walk, and two Ks. Dustin Presley is definitely going to be the closer. Again, he didn't come here to be a setup man. It's what he was in Houston. But Hodge is picking up right where he left off this season. In three innings of work, he hasn't given up a run or a hit. He's walked two and he struck out three. And so, you know, it talks to the depth of this bullpen. And it's really exciting for me to kind of really watch what's happening here. And so the Cubs, after this game, the split squad sweep, had their longest streak without a loss to start the Cactus season since 2006. Dustin, I do have to ask you one question. In the early game of that split squad against the Guardians, I don't know if you saw this one, Seiya Suzuki, center fielder.
Yeah, pretty interesting, right? You know, he wants to get his legs underneath him a little bit. I was worried, Crowley, that we were going to have to change the name of this podcast to the Fly the T.
Right?
Fly the T podcast.
Now, I will tell you there that Seiya, they're going to give him they're going to give him reps in center. They're going to give him reps in left. I'm okay with left, Dustin. I can live with that. I really, really am just not into seeing him at center. You know, I don't know if they want to maybe move Ian Happ one day to center and then have Seiya play left. If you're I don't know.
I mean, if you're doing that, what's happening with PCA?
You may have to give PCA a day off. He may be slumping there. Who's your backup center fielder? And that's where the question of those bench spots, whether you're going to keep Bruhan and have him as an infielder or outfielder.
That's what I was going to say. I figured Bruhan was probably your backup, you know, utility outfielder kind of thing.
Gage Allen would be another name that's out there. He's having a pretty good spring too. So we're going to have to dig into it more probably when the Cubs get back from Japan. Dustin, Sunday, all good things must come to an end. The Cubs winning streak finally ends with a 7-3 loss to the Reds. Matt Boyd made the start for the Cubs. He pitched 2 1/3 innings, gave up three runs on four hits, one walk, but he did have four Ks. I talked about the importance of each and every Keegan Thompson appearances. He's on the bubble for making this roster since he has no options. This one wasn't good. He went 1 2/3 innings. He gave up two solo home runs, but he did strike out two. I just don't see him making the team, Dustin.
Unless there's some type of injury bug going through there, I don't think so either.
Closer Ryan Presley pitched a clean inning, no walks, hits, or strikeouts. Jack Neely looked good. He gave up one hit but struck out three in one inning of work. But, Dustin, all the pitching, the loss, all of it was secondary. The big story was Matt Shaw's spring debut at third base, batting second. He has been sidelined by an oblique injury, and he is slated to be the Cubs' opening day starter. Good to see him get some game action. He went 0 for 3 with a couple of hard hit balls. in his first two at-bats, but he popped out to end the third with the bases loaded.
Yeah, that stunk, popping out with the bases loaded.
Yep, but he also made some defensive plays, including the first play of the game. As we always say, the ball will find you. So good to see, but Elise Menneker had a chance to talk to Matt Shaw after he was taken out of the game after that pop-up. And, you know, the kid seems to have a good head on his shoulders. This is what he said about the debut.
Hey, Craig Counsell said, have fun. Did you have fun? How was it out there?
Yeah, I had a blast. It's good to be back playing baseball.
What does it feel like health-wise for you at this point?
It feels 100%. You know, it's one of those things, you're getting your feet back under you. Like, you know, you have a lot of work to do to get up to, you know, nine innings. But it's good to be out there, and it felt really good.
The mindset, because you're someone who wants to get your crack at third base, but you can't get out there as quickly as you want. What were you telling yourself through all this?
Yeah, I mean, it was honestly a good moment for me to just work on a few things defensively. You know, it honestly worked out very nicely, you know, kind of get my tempo down a third, and now it's ready to rock and roll.
Ready to rock and roll. What are we thinking here, Dustin?
I don't think there's any shot he goes to Japan. They're also saying he's going to play every other day for now. I think the key is, Crowley, is, you know, how does he wake up on Monday? How does he feel on Tuesday? How does he look in the game on Tuesday? How does he come out of that? Like, that, those are the keys. And I think the hitting will be there. I think it's all about the fielding, and can he field the position at this level?
Yep, it'll be interesting to see. And that takes us to our injury updates and roster moves. Nico Horner is still hitting in the cage and progressing through his throwing program. But Craig Counsell gave us some news about where we stand with Nico.
We're excited about where Nico's at. I think it's all good. This is a good news situation. It's, you know, for Nico, it's not necessarily good news in that just he has to miss two games and has to miss the trip. But on the other side of it, it's good news because I think we were very much like tracking towards opening day, like domestic opening day, of him being in good shape, of him being ready for that and prepared for that. So, you know, it stinks, in terms of like not getting to be part of the trip. But his rehab is really in the last kind of couple weeks has, I think, we think really taken a step forward, maybe 3 weeks has taken a big step forward. And he is kind of starting to progress quicker. And so we're in a really good spot. And if we can have him for domestic opening day, I think, you know, going back to surgery date, it'd be a really positive result.
All right, so we get it. It is official. Nico not going to Japan.
Yeah, not shocking. Not shocking at all. He has to get his work in here stateside. Domestic. I made a joke on the Mully and Haw show about domestic opening day. Every time you hear them say domestic opening day, have a swig of a domestic beer or have a shot of a domestic liquor, because we are going to be hearing that a ton. The domestic debut. It's kind of getting a little annoying, to be honest with you.
I hear you on that, but you know, again, I agree with Craig. You know, it sucks, but with the depth they have this year, I'm okay with him missing two games. I know people are going to say they count just as much as the two games in August or September. Yes, but you know what? If you can get Nico ready by opening day domestic, sorry, Dustin, but if you can get him ready by the 27th to play versus Arizona when I'm in the stands, then it's, you can live with it. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not saying you can't live with it. I think it's very interesting how they're handling Nico. It's going to be very interesting to see how they handle Matt Shaw. Do they want to bring him to Japan to get him around the teammates? Do you leave him behind so he's doing all kinds of extra work? Are they worried about the flight? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and so before Shaw started the game on Sunday, he took his first live batting practice on Saturday, and it was kind of cool because he took live BP from two other guys recovering from injuries. Obviously, we know Cade Horton had a serious injury last season, and Luke Little, who had a shoulder strain, he was getting some BP work. So good to see all three of those guys on the field, and hopefully Luke's back sooner rather than later, but making progress. But there is no decision yet. And so, you know, Dustin, I think with Shaw, it is going to be a day by day, week by week thing, like you said, even though we're like 2 weeks away from Japan. But it is going to be, I think, a game time decision. And don't forget, they're going to be not just playing those two games. They're going to be playing an additional two games in Japan. I think with Nico and how established he is with the team, I think it's fine. They're leaving him, and he's behind. He's behind where Shaw is. He obviously hasn't made a game yet. I think with Shaw, if he can play, I think they're going to try to get him in there. We'll see, but nothing yet. Unfortunately, Javier Assad's bullpen session, which was supposed to happen this weekend, was pushed back until the end of next week. We also got an update from Craig Counsell on Assad.
Yeah, I think with Assad, we're doing great. We have not thrown bullpens yet. Bullpens end of next week. But obviously, you know, this means he's going to miss the start of the season. And you know, we want to give him just a proper build up, and you know, that means a couple of bullpens, a couple of lives, and then starting kind of a ramp up as a starter. So, you know, that puts some days on the calendar and gets you into the season.
So that's official now that Javier Assad will not be ready when the season begins.
Also not going to Japan, Javier Assad.
Correct. And so the question then for Assad, who gets that fifth starter spot? Now it's up to grabs. That's where the Colin Rea and the Ben Brown and those guys getting those starts. I mean, Jordan Wicks.
Ben Brown, please. Ben Brown.
Well, you got three guys that are going to compete for that job there and with Brown, Wicks, and Rea. So, you know, two young guys and then the veteran.
No Rea.
All right. And so we do have we had our second and third round of roster cuts on Saturday. Gavin Hollowell, Caleb Killian, Jack Neely, and Cody Petit were optioned to Triple A, and Riley Martin was sent to minor league camp. But Dustin, when you on Sunday, catcher Pablo Aliendo was sent down as well. The roster was trimmed from 59 to 53 players. But Dustin, Gavin Hollowell, Caleb Killian, Jack Neely, Cody Petit, all those guys were in the Cubs bullpen for a decent portion last season, especially at the end of the year. They're not even going to be on the opening day roster. That just tells you how much depth they've added to the bullpen this year, and it's a good thing to see.
Oh, gotta love the depth, Crowley. Gotta love the depth, because that bullpen was something to not be desired, and on paper anyway. And so far in spring training, it's looked pretty good.